Hey, thanks so much for being here. This is My City Church, and this is our podcast. We hope you are inspired to love God, love people, and lead in life. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, My City Church. How you guys doing out there? Feeling good, despite the cold. Come on, I got out of my car today, and I said, the Lord is not in Nebraska. And then he made me swerve a little bit, and I said, okay, sorry, God. That's how God corrects you, amen, amen. Hey guys, I'm so excited you guys are here. I mean, it's gonna be an amazing day, and I'm not just saying that because I'm here, but because you're here. And if this is your first time here, I know we've said a big welcome home, but I want you to hear it from me too, that there are clearly 100,000 places you could have been today, but you chose to be here. You chose to be in the house of God, and I can't think of a better place to be, but I'm so glad you guys are here. It's gonna be amazing. And today, if you've been coming to My City Church for a while, maybe this is your first time, I want to encourage you to go to Next Step One. Right after service, when you walk out these doors, you head to the right, you go down the hallway past kids, someone will meet you there, get you connected. If you want to meet somebody, go to our Connect Corner. Someone would love to meet you, put a book in your hands, let you know that God loves you, but we love you too. It's gonna be awesome. And I wanna take a moment and introduce myself. I think a couple of you guys, you're used to Pastor Clyde. You're probably used to Pastor Eli. You're probably used to a couple of these pastors, but you're like, who's that guy that's got tattoos? And when I was talking to Pastor Eli, he said, Pastor Eric, I need you. I need you on Super Bowl Sunday. He said, you're the most athletic of us. I said, yes and amen. Yeah, it was a prophetic word. I heard today, I just found out who was playing in the Super Bowl. It's like Pirates versus Indians or something like that. Is that where it's from? I think I played that as a kid. But it's gonna be good. Someone will win, someone will lose. It'll be, who knows? Maybe no one will play. That would be interesting. But I do want to introduce myself. My name is Pastor Eric. My beautiful wife, Natalie. So good looking. We were downtown campus pastors, and we're so excited that we are with you guys now. And I do want to take a quick moment to just celebrate. Today is the 1 year anniversary of the downtown campus opening up. And come on, we can do a little bit better than that. Man. Man, church, I believe that God's not done. He's not done with the city of Omaha. He's not done with Millard. He's not done with Fremont. He's not done with Westo. He's not done with Benson. He's not done with downtown. He's not done with Exarban. All these areas, he's saying, I have handed Omaha over to my kingdom, but he's waiting for his church to say yes. And man, I'm believing that God's going to continue to do something on top of the over 300 salvations that happened at that campus. To kind of put that in perspective, we were shut down for 6 months, open for 5 weeks, and then came back, and God did something big, and he's still doing something today. And if you guys are with me on this ride, I want to bring a little bit of that energy. Some people said that I have a little bit of a rock star vibe, and I think it's maybe the power stance and the tattoos, but man, I'm so excited to be here. And we want to jump into a new series today. And as you saw from the preview, it's called Make or Break. And this is our kind of annual relationship series. And I think because we are a real church, we're a messy church, we should dive right into something. We should do something a little different. We should kind of shake it up a little bit, get ourselves the rust on the hinges loosened up and have some fun, right? You guys feeling it? Can you have fun in church? Well, I want to talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about...
No? Before we get started, I do want to acknowledge that there may be some kids in here or parents, or you may have youth or children, and I want to open it up that sex is a sensitive topic. And my intention is that I'm going to bring God's perspective, nothing that you shouldn't be able to read in the Bible. But I do understand, so we do want to make our childcare available for anybody that wants to do that. I know that kind of sounds funny, but I want you to know that this isn't a shame thing. We truly want to protect your home and respect that you guys are the leaders of your home. In the same way, in talking about sex, I do want to acknowledge that it is a sensitive subject. And those of you who may have had some previous history with it, where it might bring something up in you, and there's some anxiety, some depression, there's a lot of hurt, whether it's abuse or list the things here. And I want you to know from a pastor's heart that today I believe God's going to bring some healing. I believe today the conversation that has normally been kept closed is going to be opened up. And the things that you felt like you need to hide are going to become public, but not out of shame, but out of, man, you're going to look at a room around you saying, I'm with you. We're going to do this together. So I want to jump into one of the sexiest verses in the Bible. I was looking around and I said, God, I got to bring a sexy. I got a Justin Timberlake this. I got to bring it back. And he said, read out of the beginning. So Genesis 2, come on, 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Yeah, you know, it's not. This is supposed to be a sexy verse. We can't make it spiritual. I think we need a little something else. Come on. Come on. Some of you need to put this on a playlist. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. And now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. And so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Some of you are dog people. That's not your helper. Come on. Maybe a little too real for somebody. Come on. So the Lord God caused the man to fall asleep. Come on, that after church nap, you feeling me? He had a deep sleep, and he was sleeping. He took one of the man's ribs, and he closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man. And an old Jewish proverb says, didn't take the bone out of the foot so that the man would stand on her. He didn't take it out of the head or the hand just so that it would be a useful helper, but out of the side that they would be equal partners, that they would do this together, and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and what? Felt no shame. Today, I want to bring this make or break idea about sex to you. God's not prude, he's protective. God's not prude, he's protective. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're bringing a powerful word to us today, and you're going to begin opening up doors right now. God, I pray for open hearts and open minds for the message that you have for our people here today. And God, let it not be my words that are spoken, but your Holy Spirit speaking through me today. We give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, you guys, glad to be at the 9 a.m. service? Come on. So when my brother-in-law met my father-in-law, this was the introduction. Wayne is my father-in-law's name, and he stood at the mantle of his house, kind of, you know, elbow up a little bit, and next to his elbow was a shotgun shell. And I know what you're thinking. Was Pastor Natalie born in like the 1930s? Because that seems like really, no, she's just from Kentucky. They're a little behind there, like the number of teeth. Yikes! Maybe not good idea right there. And my brother-in-law comes in the door, and he meets my father-in-law, and my father-in-law, hey, he says, hey, take this shotgun shell. And Taylor is my brother-in-law's name. He looks at the shell, and engraved in the shell is Taylor. And he looks at him, he says, boy, I'm not afraid to use it. Don't you dare harm my daughter. Don't you make her cry. Don't make her have a restless night. And he said, yes, sir, because that's what you do in Kentucky. That's how it rolls. But I think most of us probably look at sex in this idea, that God is just an angry dad waiting for you to mess up. And he's engraved your name on a bullet and said, "Hell, I gotcha. This time you're not gonna make it to heaven." As if God's intention is that you wouldn't make it to heaven. As if God's intention for sex and anything that's in this world that he created would not be that you are unified with him. But so often the church's message has been, be afraid, worry, and look out for the gun, because it might hit you when you don't expect it. And so you go to church waiting for the new rule, waiting for the new expectation, and suddenly you go, oh, a new thing to be guilty about. And I just don't, the Bible I read doesn't feel like that. The Bible I read, the God that I've known, he doesn't have this kind of prudish nature where he's just trying to catch you doing something wrong. I don't think that's part of his character. And I think there's a reason why we have this kind of anxiety and weirdness about it. And I think even now, you're probably sitting in this room going, like Pastor Eric, I'm single. Like, sex is kind of an irrelevant topic to me. Or you're saying, hey, Pastor Eric, I'm married. We got this on lock. Don't worry about us, Pastor. Or maybe you're saying, hey, sexual immorality, that's a young person's sin. I don't deal with that. Man, the reality is that sex can make or break so many different ideas for us. And the problem is that what God has defined, we let other people define. And so we have all these ideas and all this stuff. But let me make this point really clear, that sex was God's idea first. Sex was God's idea. So before we start looking at anything else in the world, we got to remember who made this, right? It's a part of God's original plan, and there can be some anxiety and weirdness of like, God wants me to have sex. Yes, from the beginning, he talks about this. Read this, Genesis, right here. In Genesis, I want to tell you this, it's not an origin story, it's a love story. It's not about the making of birds and men, it's about God's relationship with you. When you look at the Jewish people, whenever they wrote, when Moses wrote the Old Testament, when he was reading or writing Genesis, it was not to explain an origin story. At that time, that was an irrelevant topic. They knew God made it. What they didn't know is why God made them. And Genesis is this story. It's this good story. It's this great story. But like any good love story, there's heartbreak. Genesis 1:1, come on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This word created, the root word is bara. And bara means to create out of nothing, to form. And kind of another explanation, it's to say to create out of a limited potential. That there was a kind of, when God was creating man, there was something pushing it down, and God let it go. Can I tell you that is the story of your life, is the enemy is trying to push something down. It's trying to constantly go, the potential on this is too great, so I'm gonna weigh it down, I'm gonna burden it, and I'm gonna create rules and laws and everything that God didn't intend for it so that it won't have potential. But God said that he bara you, that he created you with limitless potential. Another word that can be part of this is asah. And that is to form or fashion. And this is kind of us being able to partner in creation in a reproduction form of sex. But there's also yada, which is to know. This is the more common word that the Hebrews use for sex. It's to know someone. You wanna know something kind of interesting in this? This is why I'm talking about root words here. And David, in some of his Psalms, he says, I wanna know God, and use the word yada. Isn't that kind of weird though? That the same word for sex is the same word to use for my intimacy with God. That maybe it has nothing to do with the action. Maybe it has something to do with the vulnerability and the spirit that you carry and the communal nature that comes with this. I think this is why Satan wants to pervert it. I think this is why it's such a huge thing on our culture right now. And to say that it hasn't been in the past, I mean, think of the 60s and the 70s. It was free love and rock and roll and drugs and a little bit of everything. In the 80s, it was AIDS scares. And 90s, it was just pure rebellion. So now we find ourselves in the 2000s. And what? I think we all have an idea of what this is supposed to be. Genesis 2:24. We're going to continue through Genesis, and I want to see you show you guys this relationship and God's intention right here. It says in 24, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. Nakedness, again, don't look at the physical thing. Nakedness is this vulnerability. It's this knowing. I had nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. I'm vulnerable in my connection to my partner and my God. And this is God's original plan. Let me put it very simply this way, that God's plan is one God, one man with one woman, one sexual partner, one flesh. This is God's original plan. I know it's uncomfortable a little bit because in our culture, we've defined it different ways, right? Again, I need you to think about this. All the anxiety that you're feeling, the reason why this feels controversial is because this wasn't your first information. This wasn't the first time that someone told you the truth about what it is, but this is the original plan. And if someone told you in the beginning, you wouldn't question it now, right? You don't question 1 + 1 = 2 because someone told you that's how math works. But no one told you this is how sex works. So we get uncomfortable and weird about it. You know what's the problem with this? It's actually incredibly simple, right, Pastor Eli? One God, one man, one woman. I mean, it's not a whole lot of phrases right there. Like this is the beginning and the end. It says at the end of things, this is what it's gonna look like. God didn't change his plan. And it seems really simple. You can take it so simply that actually you can probably remove that top one out. And we go, well, God makes it a little complicated because sometimes I feel bad, but I'm still with my one man, one woman, so I'm good, right? I'm not sleeping around, so one sexual partner, I got that. One flesh, I don't know what that means, so I'll just ignore that one. Right? We do this. We all do this, and we think we can outsmart Satan. We think we can go like, nah, I got one on you. You thought I needed God on that? Nah, you don't know me. I'm strong, I'm confident, I'm bold, I got this. You can't outsmart Satan, but you can't overpower him, but not without that first one. A one God that he has for you. Let's continue this in Genesis 3. We get our introduction to Satan here. We get our introduction to this. We think we can do it without. And we talk about Eve, and she says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals and the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say that? You must not eat from any of the tree in the garden. In a commentary I was reading, it says, although the Bible talks explicitly about speaking to the devil, you're never to have a discussion with him. You're supposed to rebuke him. You're supposed to tell him no, but to go like, hey, how's it, no, you, okay, no. We're just talking for a minute, okay? Back off, don't be weird. We do this, right? We do this all the time. And this is what Satan's number one ploy is. He knows he can't undermine God, so he tries to undermine what God said to you. Here's a simple phrase that you've probably heard in your life. Did God really say that? Maybe you said it privately. Maybe you heard it from a friend, a coworker. Maybe you heard it from a parent. Maybe you heard it from a pastor. Did God really? No, you're strong enough. You got this. Did God really say that? If it's God's idea, Satan wants to pervert it. If it's God's idea, Satan wants to undermine it. If God's idea, Satan wants you to try to be as confused as possible so you don't understand God's original plan for your life. What's God's warning of protection suddenly turns into God's afraid of you. But was God's intention to say like, hey, I wanted to give you the right way. It turned into, well, God to give you a right way because he thinks you're gonna do the wrong way. Again, that we have this intention that God's waiting for us to mess up so he can send us to hell. When really he's more like a good father wanting to celebrate your success so that you can be with him in heaven. Our desire to be like God, we become like Satan. Flip it this way. In our desire to be like Jesus, we become holy. God's intention of sending his son was not to just be an example that you have to perfect yourself to. He says, hey, I know that this world has screwed this up and free will has made this really messy. So I'm gonna send my son as an example because you can't level up to me, but you can be like my son. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Genesis 3:6, we continue with this. After Eve has tempted and seen this, she's looking at this, and verse 6, it says, when woman saw that the fruit was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She took some and ate it. These are the three temptations that we face in sexual sin. This is immorality of any form, but these are the three temptations that we see right here. The first one, good for food. It's a desire of the flesh. It's envious. It's, oh, that's good for me. I want it. I want it for what's mine. We do this, right? We look at the marriage that looks like it's healthy. We look at the relationship. We see whatever it is, and we go, oh, that's good. I should do that. Whatever they're doing, instead of just being who God made you to be. Instead of relying on the food that he gave you. Lust of the eyes, come on, pleasing to the eye. Anybody just stay on Instagram for a little too long? Ooh, let's bring it down into your world a little bit more. Anybody stay late with that coworker? Can we be real, church? Because if we can't talk about it here, we can't talk about it anywhere. That we go, hey, no, I'm not sleeping with somebody, but I am looking. And you start entertaining the thoughts of like, oh, well, if this happened to me, would I even do that? Well, no, I go to church. I do the, and you start playing these scenarios, and it's this lust of the eyes of what could be. And man, if you just had those conversations with your spouse of the real honest one, can I be real again, of the, hey, I don't feel desired. I don't feel seen. I don't feel like you slapped my butt in a while. Come on. Let me know I'm good looking. Man, I'm the cook in the home. I gotta get that kiss the cook apron so I get a little more love in the house. Come on. Here's the last one, pride of life. This is a difficult one, desire for gaining wisdom. This one is really dangerous because it's a pride issue. It's that I can get something that God doesn't want to give me. Here's a powerful word. It says that if anyone would seek wisdom, ask, and God would give it abundantly. But instead we go, well, let me try to find it my way first. And then if that doesn't work for me, then I'll pray about it. These are the three temptations of sex that we find in everyday life. And when we give into this, this is the falling. And I can't tell you that temptation is not the sin. I know this is difficult because the message in the church is stay away from temptation as much as you can. But let's just be honest with the culture we live in right now. You can't really run from it. We're gonna watch the Super Bowl today and there's gonna be cheerleaders on the field. There's gonna be an ad with a bodybuilder. Tom Brady's playing. What are you gonna do? This is the world we live in, and we go, oh, if I just stay away from temptation. I mean, there's seasons and there's times, and if this is a conviction of yours, yeah, don't watch rated R movies. And if that's what you need to do, the Bible says it would be better that you would pluck an eye out or cut off a hand than cause you to sin. But can I tell you, I think we can just be strong in our knowledge of who God is. That when temptation comes, we just say no. That's not what Eve did. She took some and ate it. Picking up in verse 7, Genesis 3, verse 7. Eve gives it to her husband, Adam, and it says this, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You guys ever seen a fig leaf? Probably not. They're viney, they're twiggy. They're not comfortable. It's the worst version of underwear. We do this when shame comes, right? I don't care how uncomfortable it is, I'm just gonna hide from it. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. Feel this right now, feel this moment. The Bible's real. I need you to feel these, like think of this moment that you sat like on a beach at a sunset or a sunrise, the moment that you've walked through the mountains, the moment that you woke up and the kids were still in bed and it was quiet in the house and just you and a cup of coffee in the cool of the day. This is where God finds you. All distractions are gone. You're in his presence. You're in his nature. You're in his creation. And it's in this moment that Adam and Eve are so used to this communion with him, they actually know his presence. They feel it, they hear it, and even in their sin, they see it, they feel it, they hear it. They're in the cool of the day. And this is what happens. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Church, what have you united yourself to that you need to break ties with? What sin have you attached so deeply that your reaction to God's cool and welcoming presence, it brings fear to you? We talk about in our church, united in Jesus, and this is an anti-united spirit. This is a demonic presence. This is God putting not something on you, but the devil putting shame on you. I bet there's a couple people in here, if I were to be honest, maybe even people who are leaders in this church, that you've said, why does this church feel different? It's been a month. Things feel weird and things feel awkward. And can I ask you again this question? Did you tie yourself, did you tie your soul to an idea, a person, or was it tied to God? And that's not a gotcha statement. This is a, God wants to bring you back to his original plan. That there was some confusion, but not any longer. There was some anxiety, but not any longer. There was some, I just don't know if this is my thing. Come on, get it out. God's saying this was never built on a thing or a person. It was always built on God. First Corinthians 6:13 puts it this way. I love this. This is Paul speaking. He says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take members of the Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Again, get out of the physical realm. This is things that we take for granted that have prostituted themselves out, that haven't kept holy to God. That you would unite yourself to something that is not God's intention, that you would become one with her body. For it is said that two, this is Paul quoting Genesis here, two will become one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is with him in spirit. Simply put, what you can't stand united on, what you allowed to be divided. Can't stand united what you allowed to be divided. This is a difficult statement because it forces you not to look at someone else's sin, but something else that you're holding on to. That this isn't someone else's problem. This is a united problem. When looking at this, this is rivers without dams. Rivers without dams, they cause floods. And this is sex, and we so often want to blame the river for being water. But we don't want to blame the dam because it's not there. See, God, he knew that sex is this powerful water. It's this river that it can overcome and it can cause floods if it doesn't have riverbanks and dams and places to contain it. So he created a container for sex. It's called marriage. He wanted this to be a holy union, a one flesh thing. He knows the power of this three in one body, mind, and spirit thing. And he says, I need to create a good container for it. Think of it this way. When the enemy makes a flood, God gives a dam. Yeah, I know it's catchy. That's so you'll put it on Instagram. And I actually kind of mean that. I want you to remember this. I want you to think about this, where the enemy wants to flood your life with pain and sorrow and hurt and guilt and everything that you can't handle in life. God says, I will create a container to harness its power. You know what's great about a dam is it doesn't just stop the water, but it actually powers to other things. What if your sex wasn't just for yourself so that you blocked off all the bad things in your life, but it actually made your family better? What if it made you a little more open in group? What if it made you a better leader, made you a better coworker? I know this is weird. You wanna go, sex makes me good? Yeah, you won't be a grouch anymore. Maybe. We've done this in church. What God wanted to be public, we've made private, and we've hidden, and the enemy has called this shame. Here's the thing, shame keeps you silent. I love it. Jesus put it this way in John 3. I want you guys to see this with me. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. Another translation says, fear of painful exposure. The world didn't make sex shameful, we did. We allowed it. We stayed silent, so the enemy got loud. 80% of kids under 20 were taught sex by their friends, social media, or TV, not by their parents, not by teachers, not by pastors. 80%, let that sink in. You're in that category, I'm in that category. I remember going to a friend's house and seeing his dad's Playboy. I shouldn't have seen that. I didn't get to have my conversation with my father. I know he wanted to, but who knew at that time that that was gonna happen? 97 people believe that affairs are wrong, right? I think we'd all agree. I think we're in that 97 group. 30 to 40% of people cheat on their partner in some way. Yeah, I agree with it, but when it becomes available to me, are you looking for it? Are you doing it your own way? 50% of high school students, this one hurts, will have some sort of sexual contact before they graduate. We stayed silent, so the enemy got loud. They said it this way, I'll do it my way. If God's not gonna be the top of this, if he's gonna make it so hard, if no one's gonna talk about this, I'll do it my way. I love this verse right here, Genesis 3, 9. I'll wrap it up with this. But the Lord God called to man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid. Remember, God's in the cool of the day. He's in his presence. He's right there. And he's not saying, Adam, where are you? I miss you. Adam. He's not saying, Adam, where are you? He's saying, hey, where are you? Church, where are you? God didn't ask this question for himself. He knows where you are. He's asking it so you have to answer. God, I was afraid. I was afraid of what you would do to me, so I hid. God, I was afraid of what someone else did to me, so I hid. God, I was afraid that you were gonna tell me that I was wrong, so I hid. God, I was afraid that there was, insert your thing here. And God asked the question, not out of anger, not out of fear, not out of worry, because that's not God's character. He says it in a father coming to you saying, hey, I had a plan for you. Where are you? Can you see where you are right now? He isn't trying to put a set of rules on you, church. He's not prude. He's protective. He's not saying you've done wrong. It's not about right and wrong. Get away from that. He's saying, I had a plan and I'm trying to protect you because I know what this world's gonna throw. I made it. And my intention was you were with me, but this happened, but I have not left you. I'm protective. The hurt feels good. Sex your way feels good. The abuse you've been carrying for all these years, it seems too big. But God in this moment is calling out. And he's saying, where are you? And you have this moment, church, today. You have this moment to say, I'm here. I'm coming clean. So church, if you would stand with me for a moment. And as you're standing, just every eye closed and every head bowed, if you just put your hand on your heart. And this is a little symbolic, but this is a moment as we jump in back into a worship time here. I want you guys to have this moment with God. That you recognize, man, I'm coming clean. Wherever you're at, maybe, hey, can I tell you, maybe some of you are killing it in this game and you got it. I need you. I need you because I struggle. Pastor Clyde, I need you. I can't go another day without somebody. I got my wife and honey, I need you. I can keep doing this my own way, but I want to do it our way. I want to do it God's way. So today, God, every eye closed, just as a symbol to God right now, say, God, I'm coming clean. Let's put your hand on your head. Let's know the battle's in the heart, it's also in the mind. Say, God, I'm coming clean. Let's put your hands out like you're receiving a gift here. Say, God, I'm coming clean. Church, today we can't stand in a hiding place anymore. Let me be the voice of God right now for you. Where are you? Let me be a moment for God to say that he's trying to speak to you. And if you can't hear him clearly, let me say it loudly. Where are you? Because his plan wasn't that you would suffer. His plan wasn't that you would hurt. His plan wasn't this chaos, but it was for you, not against you. He's saying, where are you? Can I tell you, you can't find God hidden in the trees. You can't find God sitting in a pew. You find God on your knees at an altar in prayer saying, God, I need you. I can't do this alone. It's a hard message, church, but are you gonna come out of hiding? Are you gonna come out of hiding and give this to God? So we're gonna sing today, and Pastor Eli's gonna come up and he's gonna bring you to a point of salvation, a point of reconciliation. And this is God saying, where are you? Are you gonna respond today, church? Are you gonna respond? Come on, worship team, let's sing.
Thank you so much for listening today. And we want to give a special thank you to those that give so generously to My City Church. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you would like to give today, please hit the link in the description or go to our website at mycitychurch.cc/give. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please hit the subscribe button and share it on all of your social media. We love you so much. We'll see you next week. God bless.